Yes. Also, just one more reminder, very important reminder. Today at 5 o'clock is our annual church meeting, and these are great gatherings. A lot of times you think of a church business meeting, you think, rather go to the dentist. But ours are really good. We have a great time of fellowship. We meet in the fellowship hall. We'll have some refreshments, and then we do some really important church business stuff. We talk about the church's financial position. We talk about some things that are coming up. This year in particular, we'll have one of our church board members talk about this transition of leadership period that we're in right now and bring some updates to you. It's going to be a really important time. They don't last really late, and we just really need and encourage every one of you, whether you're a member at Bethel Church or not, you're all invited, and we want to encourage you to come tonight, 5 o'clock down in the fellowship hall. After the message this morning, we're going to be having a special time of prayer for the situation in the Ukraine. This is a very important thing for us to keep an eye on for a lot of different reasons, but one of the reasons is anytime that there's something going on with Russia, we should pay attention because there's some biblical, prophetic significance that comes along with that. Now, you know that I'm not the kind of person that does a lot of prophetic speculation, but I believe really it's pretty easy to identify Russia with Gog and Magog, which we read about in Ezekiel chapter 37 and 38, and also in the book of Revelation, that it is a power that comes out of the north and is very aggressive. And so anytime we see this kind of aggression from Russia, I believe we need to pay attention and we need to be reminded that Jesus is coming back. Amen. Amen. And we should always live ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you're not ready for the return of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you, get your life right with God. Give your life to Jesus Christ before it's too late. These things that are unfolding, they're a sign that God is at work. God is going to fulfill his purpose, plan, and destiny for planet Earth. And never forget that ultimately God is the one that rules and reigns. Amen? And so we need to pay attention to what's happening in the Ukraine because of its prophetic significance. But also we should pay attention as Christians because it is a humanitarian crisis. And so in addition to praying for the Ukraine, we're going to receive a special offering later this morning, and I'll be sharing about how that offering is going to be used to help those that have had to leave their homes and are living now as refugees in Ukraine and also outside of the Ukraine. And so we'll do that at the end of the message this morning. Hey, if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. We're wrapping up our series through the book of Philippians this morning. And what we find is one of the main themes in the book of Philippians is the theme of Paul being thankful to the Philippian church. Whenever I start preparing for a series of messages through the book of the Bible, I'll take that particular book, and even before I start preparing the messages, I'll just read that book over and over and over again. And I try to do that in one sitting. So in a shorter book like the book of Philippians, I might sit down and read two or three times just in one sitting, read through and through and through. And the reason I do that is because it gives me kind of the big picture idea of what's going on. And what you find in the book of Philippians is that the book of Philippians is really a thank you letter. And Paul is thankful not only for the financial support the Philippians have brought to him, but also he's thankful of the fact that they're concerned for him. Now, those of you who have been through some crisis in your life or go through some difficulty, we all do, one of the things that really makes a difference is just knowing that there are people that are concerned for you. Isn't that right? They might not be able to do anything to fix your problem, but just knowing that there are people that are aware and people are concerned, people care. And so we find that in the book of Philippians, that Paul is just overwhelmed with thankfulness because they're showing concern for him. And so if you're taking notes this morning, we're going to be talking about the Philippians' generosity and talk about the importance of generosity in our own lives, using them as an example. So in your notes, the first thing about generosity, I'm going to share four things about generosity. The first thing is this: generosity is an important way to show true concern for others. So look at verse 10. Paul writes, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me." Everybody say concern. "You renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." So Paul is in prison in Rome, and when the church in Philippi finds out that Paul is in prison, they're, of course, naturally concerned for him. And their concern, however, went further than just, "Oh, we feel bad." They were actually moved to action. And so they took up an offering. I'm sure they prayed for Paul too, but they took up an offering to help Paul with his financial needs while he's in prison. Now, remember, there was no Venmo back then or PayPal. There was not even a Pony Express yet. And so, how are they going to get this money? Well, a guy in the church by the name of Epaphroditus volunteered to travel mostly by foot all the way from Philippi in Macedonia to the great city of Rome. And we learn in chapter 2 of Philippians that on his way to in bringing this offering, Epaphroditus becomes extremely ill along in the journey. And so ill that he almost dies. But he recovered, and he makes it to Rome with this financial gift from the church. And so Paul is extremely thankful that the Philippians have shown this concern. And notice he says that they've renewed their concern for him. So Paul is thankful for this financial gift, but he's even more thankful for the fact that they have concern for him. He says, "Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." So earlier on, the Philippians had sent financial gifts to Paul, but then something happened. We don't know exactly what. Something happened, and they were unable to continue to do that for a period of time. And now they're back on board again. And this is one of the ways that we show true concern for others. We show concern for others by being generous and actually making a difference. Someone has once said that it's possible to give without loving. It's possible to give without loving, but it's not possible to love without giving. So true. If we have genuine love, genuine concern, we're going to do something. We're going to, if there's something that, some way that it's in our power to be helpful, If the love is real, we're going to do that. We're going to want to make a difference. James writes in James chapter 2, "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' a nice idea, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." So generosity is an important way to show true concern for others. So in our offering for the Ukraine, we're going to pray. We're going to pray, and that's good. It's awesome. But we're also going to give. We're going to give because we're concerned. And one of the things that's going on in the Ukraine is there are a lot of believers in the Ukraine. The Ukraine has a lot of Christian churches, a lot of followers of Jesus Christ. So, this is a political attack, but this is also a spiritual attack. This is an attack on the church. And so we want to bless our brothers and sisters in the Lord, those that know Jesus and those that don't, and we want to make a difference and show true concern. Second thing that we know about generosity is that generosity goes hand in hand with contentment. Pick up at verse 11. And this is not going to be on the screen. Verse 12 will be, or 13 rather. I am not saying this because I am in need or I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. All right, and then verse 12. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, listen, Paul is not making a statement here that it's better to be poor. He's also not saying it's better to be rich. What he is saying is that it's better to be content. That whatever your circumstances are, contentment is the key. In fact, he says it's a secret to be content. And one of the results of being a content person is that you'll become a more generous person. Greed is the enemy of generosity, and contentment is generosity's twin sister. And notice that Paul says, I've learned this. I've learned the secret of being content. For some of you this morning, contentment just comes quite naturally. It's like you were born that way. For most of us, contentment is something we have to learn. Would you agree with that? We have to learn it. And Paul says that he had to learn it too. So for most of us, contentment is a virtue that we need to develop. It doesn't come naturally. In fact, selfishness comes naturally to us. And ingratitude comes naturally to us. So contentment is a virtue that we need to let Jesus develop in our lives. And once we learn that, once we learn to be content with what God has provided for us, it's a wonderful thing. It's a game changer in our lives. It makes all the difference in the world. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Right? Someone once said, I've never seen a U-Haul being pulled behind a hearse. Very true. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires and plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So developing a virtue, the virtue of contentment, it will do a lot for you. If you're content, you're going to sleep better. It will lower your blood pressure. It will take some strain off your marriage. It will save you from being covetousness, and greed. You'll be a more pleasant person to be around. It will strengthen your relationship with God. You'll be a more thankful person. All of these things happen when we learn to be content. And then for our purposes this morning, if you're a content person, you're going to be a much more generous person. You're going to be more giving if you're content. Now, Paul here talks about the secret of contentment, and then he doesn't tell us what it is, but I'm reading between the lines, and I think I'm right here. I believe that the secret of contentment is Jesus. The secret of contentment is Jesus. When you find your satisfaction in the Lord instead of your material possessions, you're going to be a content person. Find your contentment in the Lord, not in what you have. And then Paul gives us this great quotable verse that a lot of people take out of context, a very powerful thing. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. The ESV says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. All right. Now, this verse gets used for a lot of different things and gets taken out of context a lot. But I think the underlying truth is this, that no matter what we go through in life, no matter what trials we're facing, no matter what struggles we're up against, God's going to be there and get us through it. Amen? And there's nothing that's going to stop you with Jesus on your side. I can do all things. Everybody say it together. I can do all things. I can do everything. I can go through it. I can make it. I can not only survive, I can thrive. I can be more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And maybe for someone in this place today, just that word is what you needed out of church today, right? That word, that reminder that through Christ, you're going to make it. He's with you. He's for you. I can do all things. You're going to be okay because Jesus is on your side. Hallelujah. So generosity goes hand in hand with contentment. And then a third thing about generosity is generosity expands the gospel. It expands the gospel. So even before Paul was in prison and they sent this offering, the Philippians had already supported Paul's missionary work with their financial generosity. Look at verse 14. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. It was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, which is where Philippi is, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. Okay? They're the only church supporting him in those days. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. So this generosity thing is not a new thing for the Philippians. They've been generous through the years. They supported Paul's journey before he was in prison. Why? Because they wanted others to hear the gospel. Now, we have a really interesting cross-reference about the Philippians' giving, and it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. We'll put it on the screen, 2 Corinthians 8, 2. This is kind of unique. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians about the generosity of the Philippians. Okay, you got that? He's writing to the Corinthians, but he's using the Philippians as an example for the Corinthians about generosity. And he writes about the Philippian church in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. There's two words a lot of people don't put together. Poverty and generosity. They didn't have a lot, but they were still generous. Never let the devil tell you that you don't have enough to be generous. That's a lie. We can all be generous. Pastor Roger mentioned the price of gas. Yeah, it gets your attention, doesn't it? Gets your attention. But I just want to encourage you in good times financially and difficult times financially, God's our provider. Amen? Amen? God's our provider. Continue to have a generous heart. So notice three things that Paul says about the Philippians giving. First of all, they gave during a difficult time. Secondly, they gave joyfully. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. So they gave joyfully. And then they gave generously. Okay? They gave what they had. They had generous hearts. They gave what they had. And then in Romans 10, Paul writes about the importance of financial generosity when it comes to the expansion of the gospel. In Romans chapter 10, Paul writes this: how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard, and how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Okay? So when we give to missions, when we give in a missions offering, when we give in an offering like we're receiving today, we're actually partnering with our missionaries in the expansion of the gospel. And when people find Christ, people all over the world are finding Jesus every single day. People that you will never meet this side of heaven. But you actually have a part in their salvation even though you've never met them. And that's because you were generous and you gave. How can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, okay? It's kind of a different thing for us culturally to think about having beautiful feet, but Paul is saying that those that are carrying the gospel and those that have supported them financially so that they could carry the gospel, this is a beautiful thing in God's sight. Yeah. And then the last thing I want us to know about generosity today is this. Generosity will be rewarded. Generosity will be rewarded. I know it's kind of a Christian cliche, but it's very true. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. God's blessing in our lives are so great they can't be counted. God is so awesome and amazing. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul writes, "Not that I desire your gifts." Now that's interesting. This whole time he's been thanking them for their gifts. And he basically says in this verse, that's not really what this is about. "Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account." More be credited to your account. What account? What account? Well, their account with God. Their account with God. Paul is saying, look, God sees these gifts. And these gifts, even though you sent it to me, you're really giving to the Lord. "I have received full payment," he writes, "and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent." And then verse 18, watch this. "Remember this every time you give in an offering. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." So Paul goes back to, you know, the Old Testament sacrificial system and how those sacrifices, when done right, they were pleasing to the Lord. And Paul says, that's what it's like when you give. You're worshiping the Lord. And earlier, Pastor Roger talked about that our giving is just, when we receive an offering, it's just an extension of that great time of worship. It's no less worship than singing a great song. Amen? In fact, it might even be more so. It might even be more so because it costs us more. It costs us more. It's an offering to the Lord. We've given to God. And then the payoff, or the great promise at the end. Another great, great, memorable verse. "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." My God will meet all your needs. My God will meet all your needs. And I want you to know that today. If you're in a difficult financial situation right now, I want you to know God's promises are yes and amen in Christ. Amen. God is going to provide all your needs. And in a moment, before we pray for the Ukraine, I also want to pray for you. I want to pray that God's provision would be ever present in your life. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up this morning. And church, let's stand together. Okay, we're not done yet. Because I'm going to have you stand. I'm going to have you sit back down in a minute. Just warning you ahead of time. I want to pray today. I want to pray this promise. My God shall supply all your needs. My God shall supply all your needs. Some of you need to take a hold of this verse today. You need to take a hold of this promise. Okay? And so I just want to ask by a show of hands, how many of you here today would say, yeah, I need that today. I need to know. I'm in a situation right now where I just need to know God's going to provide. If that's you, would you just raise your hand right now? Yeah, I'm going to pray for a release of provision. Numbers of you, a release of provision in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The book of Malachi talks about the floodgates of heaven opening up. The floodgates of heaven opening up as we're faithful to the Lord financially. And I want to pray that the floodgates of God's provision would open up in your life. Hallelujah. Come on, church, let's pray together for those that are facing some financial stress right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come and we agree together, God, for your financial provision, God. God, your word tells us you're going to meet every need. You're going to meet every need. Not necessarily all of our wants, but all of our needs are going to be met. So in Jesus' name, right now, we speak financial provision. We pray that the curse of lack would be broken in Jesus' name. We come against a spirit of discouragement in Jesus' name. And God, we pray, Lord, we pray for overflow, overflow in Jesus' name, for an overflow, God, of financial provision. God, your word tells us that not only are we going to have enough, we're going to have more than enough so that we can be even more generous, that our life is to be a pipeline of blessing. So today, God, I pray in Jesus' name that that pipeline of blessing is going to be opened up. God, that there's going to be a freedom to be generous, and we're going to have a generous spirit, a generous heart. We're going to be givers. We're going to give for the right reason. We're going to give joyfully, and God, you're going to use us. But Lord, we also pray for those that are facing that need right now, God, that the floodgates of heaven are going to open up in their lives, God, that every bill's going to be paid, God. Every need's going to be met, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. I want to pray specifically, God, for couples that are here today. They've got children at home and they're concerned about providing for their children. God, I pray, first of all, that they would be reminded that their children are loved by you even more than they're loved by them. God, that you love their kids and you're going to meet their needs. I pray, God, also they would be reminded that in a time of lack, children are going to know that there's more important things in life than money. That the love that they have from the Lord, that the love that they share as a family is worth way more than having the latest Xbox. It's worth way more than having the latest things or having the best clothes at school. So God, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, for provision, for financial blessing, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And Father, right now, too, we just want to lift up the Ukraine to you. God, this situation in the Ukraine, God, in Jesus' name, that country needs a miracle. God, it's awful. It's terrible. God, the suffering being inflicted on these people. So God, we pray in the name of Jesus that the armies of Russia are going to be stopped in their tracks. We stand together in prayer and intercession today, God, that you're going to be with the Ukrainian people, that you're going to be with their president, you're going to be with their government, God, in Jesus' name. We pray, God, that you will cover them and bless them. We pray for the church in the Ukraine. God, I've just been watching videos of these churches joyfully worshiping the Lord, God. And these videos put some of us to shame because we have the slightest thing go wrong sometimes. And we come and we act like we can't even worship Jesus. And here they are, their very lives are on the line, and they come to church anyway, and they worship you with their whole heart. So we pray, God, your abundant blessing on the church of the Ukraine. God, we pray that the church in the Ukraine is going to thrive. It's going to be filled with the Spirit. God, that those churches are going to be filled to overflowing with people that are coming, and they're finding Christ. They're asking, how can these people be so happy? How can they be so peaceful in the midst of all this? And they're going to have the opportunity to say our joy comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. God, we pray. This is a test. It's a test. It's a test for the nations of the world. Will we stand up against aggression or won't we? And so, God, I pray for the nations of the world, God, to be righteous, God. Lord, war is a terrible thing. None of us should ever want war, God. It's an awful thing. It's a terrible thing. But God, when it happens, we pray, God, that it will end quickly and rightly and justly. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I just realized I don't have to have you sit back down. You can stand up and give it an offering, right? Yeah. Pastor Roger mentioned earlier about ways to give. I just want to tell you a little bit of, well, maybe you better sit down. For many years, Bethel Church, we've partnered with a great global ministry, global compassion ministry called Convoy of Hope. And I've been on the phone a couple of times with people from Convoy of Hope this week, and they've not been able to, you know, really go public with where, you know, every place where they have distribution centers. It's had to be a little bit, you know, under the radar. But they do have, you know, boots on the ground in Poland and the Ukraine. And they have distribution centers started up. Some of these distribution centers are through partners that they've had over the years. So they don't have to be there in person, but they're supporting other ministries. But some of these centers are actually Convoy of Hope personnel that are there. I was reading one estimate, it's probably low, that over 1 million people have had to flee from their homes and are refugees. Many of these, of course, are women and children. And their husbands, their fathers have stayed behind to fight. And so, church, I just believe it would really, really be a blessing to the Lord for us to get behind Convoy of Hope and their efforts. And one of the things that I love about Convoy of Hope is we know this. We know that not only are people going to get food and clothing and water and those necessities for survival, but they're also going to get the gospel. And I love that. That we want to meet the physical need, but we also want to address the spiritual need in people's lives. And Convoy of Hope does that. So I can't think of a better way. If you want to support the Ukraine, I can't think of a better way to do it than through Convoy of Hope. And so, I just want to encourage you. You can give online. And if you give online, when you go to indicate where your offering is going to, I think it says other. All right, and you can click on other, and then you can just put the Ukraine or Convoy of Hope in that box, in that comment. You can also use an offering envelope this morning and write Ukraine or Convoy of Hope if you want to give that way. And you can put those offering envelopes in the back when you leave this morning. Well, it's been a great day to be in God's house. Amen. God is good. Let's stand together again. Our worship team's going to lead us in one last great song to the Lord.